This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 205. I'm not even going to say cozy day. It's just a crap day.
Yeah, usually I'm like, oh, it's rainy outside. It makes me so happy to be at work. And I did have a moment when I was walking in today, like, it's nice to be in this nice, warm Odyssey building. But the day itself does not feel cozy, like you said. It just feels bleh.
Well, our office being an icebox doesn't help.
That's true.
So,
it's dang cold.
Things that no one cares about, except for you and me. Not even Wheeler cares. He's like,
what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Razor's Edge?
Yeah, I want to talk about the fact that they've made some changes in rules when it comes to the military as far as the women's dress code.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of military women are not happy about these new nail polish regulations.
Oh boy.
So I guess in the past couple of years, they've made it to where there were like 60 different shades of nail polish that you could choose from and wear when you're serving in the military. Well, recently they just restricted that to 3 colors. You can either do, a French tip, a clear polish, or an American manicure, which is kind of like a French tip, but it's more of like a nude tip rather than a white tip, if you guys know what I'm talking about.
I don't. So
no red nails, no blue nails.
No red and blue, and a lot of service members are upset because, you know, they're posting online and saying things like, look, I just paid $50 to get my purple manicure, and now you're telling me I have to go back and swap it for a different color. Others are saying, really, of all the things that are going on with the military right now, you're going to micromanage to the level of my nail polish color. Yeah. But then others are coming out and saying, like, look, you're in the military. You have a uniform. Get used to not expressing yourself. So I'm wondering where you guys come down on this. Does the color of your nails have any bearing on your job? Before we get started, I will say I've had jobs before where I could only have my manicures done a certain way. Mm-hmm. It's like a common thing in a female dress code for them to be like, hey, no flashy colors, no.
I told you
that.
I changed my mind about that. So
it's like French tip only.
So my initial reaction when you were telling the story is if you are willing to put your life on the line, you can have whatever color nails you want. But then I was thinking about some of the nails I've seen, especially like the really long ones, and that doesn't seem professional or appropriate to me. So when it comes to, I guess to me it would be kind of like flying on a plane, that wear what you want, but if you wear a shirt that says the F word or the S word, we're probably going to ask you to change your shirt. And so wear what you want. Be professional, but if you wear something that is causing distraction or bothering, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It's like knowing pornography when you see it, that if it's inappropriate, we'll know it when we see it. We'll deal with it on a one-on-one basis. Far be it from me to tell the Trump administration what to do, but on things like that, you're doing such big things You're shutting down the Department of Education. You've had 20,000 federal workers take the buyout. You've asked every CIA employee to quit. Basically, you're doing such enormous things, buying Gaza and setting up a Dave and Buster's, that maybe don't tell women what to wear on their nails.
What do you think, Wheels?
Man, all over the place on it, because one, I don't understand why anybody would care. As long as what you're doing is not going to interfere with your duties or your job. And it does depend on what your job is, right? Like, shouldn't that be a part of it, too? You know, I think that they're not. It's not like everybody in each armed forces branch has the exact same job. They're not all grunts. They're not all fighter pilots. They're not all one thing. It's a lot of different people doing a lot of different jobs. So I wonder if just practically speaking, maybe some jobs it'd be better to not have to deal with any of that. Others, it won't matter. I don't personally care. It couldn't bother me less one way or the other. But a lot of employers have dress codes. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you're signing up for their rules. And, you know, I mean, like, as an example, this is a sports example. The Yankees do not allow facial hair for any player. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. But it's their rule. And if you don't want to have, don't play for the Yankees. Or, you know, play well enough to get traded if you're a prospect. So I personally wouldn't do anything about it because I don't think it matters. But I also don't think there's a really valid complaint on the other side either. They can tell you what clothes you can wear, right?
Yeah.
And now, I do think there's an interesting question about on versus off duty. If you're not at work, if you are not on duty, should you have to comply with that? Because like a dress code, if we had a strict dress code here, it wouldn't apply to my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, it only, like in the off season, a Yankees player can grow a beard. It only applies when you're in uniform during the season. I don't know. I didn't read enough about it to know if there's any differentiation there. In other words, if you painted your nails and you went out on a weekend or whatever, and you don't have to report back to duty until Monday, and then you cleaned it up and got back to fitting the rules by Monday, is that fine? If it is, that's a different thing too, right? Because a lot of places have rules that you follow when you're at your place of employment.
What do you think?
I understand what Wheels is saying. The problem with that is many women who get their nails done, they're not just doing like a one coat. They're getting like an acrylic or a dip. Yeah. So that lasts like several weeks.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people are complaining about this. They're saying, okay, so you made these new rules. Fine, I guess it is the military after all. You're allowed to tell me what to do. But you're making this go into place like 3 days or something after you made the rule.
Oh, they're doing it like now?
Yeah. And
oh,
it's
that's
like,
BS.
I just got my nails done. I just spent 50, 60, 70 bucks. It's expensive these days to get like a full acrylic set or something. And now you're telling me I have to go switch it. So I definitely have some compassion for the people who just got their nails done.
I just think that it's a symptom. Whether it's Republicans or Democrats really doesn't make a difference to me, because Democrats, the extreme end of the Democrat Party, are as crazy or more than the MAGA people, who I don't line up with. But it just seems to me that there's a fine line between pushing through your agenda and controlling people. And I don't care about nails either, but the more we get into controlling people's behaviors so that you comport with their idea of morals or religiosity or being an American, that's where I start to get hives.
In general life, for sure, is it different in the military? Because basically that's all about confirmation. That's all about confirming to what they want you to be.
And
now, that doesn't mean they can tell you how to worship, though, right? They couldn't say
no.
You have to be Christian or you can't be this or that. That would be against the law. So there are limits to what you
can
do.
They can tell you can't be LGBT.
They can now. I mean, for the moment, I don't know how that would hold up in court. I have no idea. I'm sure it's going to get challenged, I would guess, right? I mean, everything eventually does. But is it different to you guys that it is the military? And the whole idea when you sign up is you're ours now. We tell you to jump. You ask how high. When we tell you go to war, you go to war. You know what I mean?
it is different for me. It's definitely different than like, hey, I work at Target and I can't have purple nails.
Right.
Like, well, why not? But I mean, honestly, when I worked at Radio Shack in the early 2010s, I couldn't have nail color. It was like, you have to have natural looking nails. And it's like, well, that was like a sales position. I get why they wanted people to have natural looking nails in that situation. In the military, I guess I do understand why you would just want people to be able to blend in as much as possible. So if they have like the sparkly pink, it might look weird with the uniform. I mean, I don't know. I tend to agree with people who are like, of all the stuff that's going on right now, it's weird to micromanage this.
Agree.
But I also get why it's a headache for people, you know?
Yeah. Like if I were in charge, I wouldn't care. It wouldn't be something that I would be fixated on. I wouldn't change it. But I also, I mean, you know what you're signing up for when mm-hmm. you're signing up for armed services. You're signing up to be told where to go, when to go, what to do, how to do it.
What do you think of the Democrats' response to the first 2 weeks? It seems to me like my famous story about coming home from law school and walking in my apartment and someone was getting in my window and we both yelled, hey, at each other. That's what it seems like the Democrats are doing. They're just like, hey, you can't do that. Hey, you can't stop that. But they're not doing anything to stop it. Does that make sense? Now, I'm probably wrong, but that's the way it seems.
What do you do to stop an executive order, though?
It's a great question.
I mean, it's got to be done in court, right?
Yeah, maybe they filed all the lawsuits they can file.
I honestly don't know, but I think that's it. Because that's what happened with the birthright citizenship, right? That's been challenged in court, mm-hmm. and now a federal judge has said, nope, can't do that. Now, it's still going to go, it probably end up in the Supreme Court. But at least for now, the ruling was, nope, can't do that, unconstitutional.
It is really neutering Congress. And be careful.
That's my biggest worry about it. And again, doesn't matter who it is.
It doesn't matter.
It's not about party. We should
it's
not
be hard to get that power back.
We should not be empowering one branch over the other two. We shouldn't be doing that.
Ezra Klein with the New York Times had a very interesting piece called Don't Believe Him. And it was all about like, hey, Trump's going to come out and make it seem like he has all of these powers. And the more you believe something, the more likely it is to be true, right? Like, that's just kind of how reality works for a lot of us. And he's like, don't believe him. Don't believe him when he says he can do these different things. And he brought up the executive orders. There's a reasoning behind that. And that reasoning is, I can win when I do an executive order. If I put something through Congress with a slim majority in the House and a slim majority in the Senate, I have a possibility of losing. So that's why it's not happening through legislation. It is all happening with the phone and the pen.
Yeah. And my understanding, too, is that Congress can overturn any executive order, but they have to pass a law to do it. And at this point, good luck. If you're on the Democratic side, right? Like, good luck. You're not going to pass any law that's going to overturn any one of these executive orders the way that Congress currently is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So your only recourse then would be for third parties to be filing lawsuits, whether it's states, because some states are filing lawsuits in all of these things, right? So it can be states, attorneys, generals, it can be private industries, it can be ACLU, it can be whoever. Those lawsuits are going to have to be, practically speaking, how that does it. But even that, Dave, is kind of to your point, it undermines Congress. Because now to get something changed, it's either the executive or the judicial. And that's it. I mean, practically, it's not really it, but practically it is, because Congress is always in a state where nothing of that kind of significance is going to change.
Yeah, partisanship, at least on the right, has taken precedent over protecting your body. You know, Mike Johnson should be protecting the House, and they should be protecting the Senate. Thune should be protecting the Senate. And also, you're not a coward if you disagree with me. But I'm so surprised at how cowardly Washington has become. And we've now seen it happen. So we know that it can happen in the future. Be very careful about the leaders you choose, because if they choose to use their power in a way that they threaten people, look at Senator Cassidy, who's a medical doctor who has been made his career on vaccines and being very supportive, and made a bunch of noise about not supporting RFK Jr. You knew he was going to do it. You know, he's up in 26. He already has a challenger for a primary. He already voted to convict Donald Trump in the second impeachment. So he's on thin ice. I would have bet every dollar I have that he voted the way he did in favor of RFK. I personally, I don't make any claims. I don't claim to be a hero. I don't claim to be super courageous. I'm just surprised at how cowardly my fellow man is who happened to be in Congress. I'm really surprised and saddened by that.
It just makes it seem like high school to me.
Mm.
Like, the big man on campus says this, so this is the way it's going to be. And if you step out of line, you might not be in with the cool kids anymore. In fact, you might get kicked out of the group entirely, so you better just fall. Like, it just, it's very, very childish, in my opinion.
This element is very much about self-preservation, right? I don't want to lose this position. And the argument that I've heard some of these people make, sometimes off the record, is, hey, listen, I'm not as crazy as the person that would take this. You would rather have me here than another crazy person. But if you're not regulating anything anyway, if you're just going with the flow, then what's the difference? There is a point in fighting a fight that you think needs to happen. Now, if you agree with the agenda, then agree with the agenda.
Ironically,
then stand up.
The only one standing up is Mitch McConnell, and he just fell down the stairs today.
Oh.
Oh.
225 DGS coming up at 2:30. We have Lou Elizondo, who's going to be in City Winery coming up on February 19th, which I believe is a Wednesday. And anyone who's into UFOs or UAPs or extraterrestrials know who Lou Elizondo is. First time we've had him on the show, so looking forward to that.
Yeah, he's not like the big hair guy from Ancient Aliens. This is a guy that worked in the military and researched this stuff for the military.
Yeah.
In fact, he headed up the branch that I don't think exists anymore, right, ATIP?
I don't think so.
But, I mean, he headed up a branch of the armed services that investigated UAPs.
TikTok's screwing with me because it's an algorithm, so I have buy-in for this, even with the giganticses. But it's diagnosing my mental issues.
Mm.
Yeah. And so I told Rach about half of my For You page in the last week has been telling me I have autism. Now, if I do, that's okay. Many people do. Many people are diagnosed later in life. Based on what I know about it, I've never thought that was one of my diagnoses, but they're certainly pushing it. And they're like, here's the checklist, which I know is different than going to see a medical professional, but it's like check, you know what I mean? So do you guys get stuff like this?
No.
I have from time to time, and it'll be like, if you sleep with your arms tucked under your, like, it's like, that's a sure sign. And I'm going, is that true?
Right.
Like, this just seems like something to make a viral video.
I feel like I'm being rushed for a fraternity. Like, ADHD wants me and autism wants me. And you know what I mean? And they're all just like, hey, recruit, do you do this? Yeah, I bet you're one of us. I'm like, I guess.
It does raise a good point that, like, people, especially younger people, shouldn't be looking at what happens on TikTok as if it carries authority. Mm-hmm. Like, talk to someone that actually knows what's going on.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Really excited to talk to my next guest. Lou Elizondo is doing an event at City Winery on February 19th. I believe that's a Wednesday. Universal Truth. The evidence is clear. We are not alone. Live on February 19th, 7:30 p.m. City Winery. I think I'm going to be at that. He's also the author of Imminent Inside the Pentagon's Hunt for UFOs. Anyone who's into UFOs or UAPs or Fast Mover, Tic Tac, knows Lou Elizondo. I've been following his career now for several years. He joins us now. Lou, it's very nice to meet you, sir.
It is my honor and privilege to be with you today. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Lou, this is my show, and I wanted to be the cool guy for you, but I just got outclassed by my co-host, Kevin Wheeler. He just figured out you're both Miami Hurricanes, so I'm no longer the cool guy.
Yeah, I am. But that was a long time ago. I mean, like, I think I probably went to college. I'm an old guy with like Moses. We were classmates together. So.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. So, Lou, I'm going to ask you a really stupid question, given that your event is called The Evidence is Clear, We Are Not Alone. But I've always wanted to ask you, you know about as much about this topic as anyone does in 2025. To what degree of certainty are you certain that something's going on that's non-human?
Well, look, it's really a matter of logical deduction and reasoning, right? So the U.S. government has already said, for the record, this is not our technology. This is not what we call a quote-unquote blue force technology. And the U.S. government has already maintained that this is more than likely not a foreign or adversarial technology. So at that point, you have to ask the logical question. If it's not ours, and it's not belonging to any other nation, then whose is it? We know it's real. The government's already said that these things are real, whatever these are, and they're able to outperform anything that we have. So the next logical question is, okay, well, then whose does this technology belong to?
And do you have, whether it's logic or empiricism or gut or vibe, do you have a feel for an opinion on whether it's extraterrestrial or perhaps extra dimensional?
Well, that's a great question. The problem is we really are just now, over the last maybe 100 years, if you look how long our species has been around in modern form, most anthropologists will agree that we've been around in modern form for the last 200,000 to 400,000 years as Homo sapiens sapiens. And it's only really been in the last 100 years that we had the technology to really start looking into the skies and understand that our world that we live in, the classic Newtonian world that we live in, is probably not really an accurate description. Along comes this guy with crazy hair named Einstein, who suggests that, you know, space and time are actually connected, and now we've got quantum physics, and it turns out that the universe is far stranger than we ever possibly expected. And so the question is, are these things from out there, or are they from right here? That's a great question. Look, it's quite possible these things could be from even under the oceans, and these things have been here all along, and we're at the point now where have the ability to start collecting information and data on it. So whether they're from outer space, inner space, or frankly, the space in between, I think the jury is still out. We're still trying to figure that out.
Lou, I'm interested in your personal experience. They obviously recruited you because of a certain skill set that you had. So you were not a newbie walking into this. But at some point, I always think of the presidents when they take them for that ride in the limo and they tell them all the secrets. At some point, you learned things that you did not know. How did that affect you?
Yeah, well, look, I was never particularly a science fiction kid. You know, when people asked me as a kid, you know, what do I like Star Wars, I considered myself more of a kind of a G.I. Joe kid, I guess. Wasn't particularly interested in science fiction, never really watched Star Wars or X-Files or anything like that. And so when the manager of the program that recruited me looked at me and he asked me, what do you think about UFOs? I told the truth. I said, I don't. And he asked me, he says, what do you mean you don't? You don't believe in UFOs? I said, I didn't say that. You asked me, what do I think of them? And the reality is I don't think about them. I'm too busy chasing bad guys, you know, and as an intelligence officer and a special agent. So I never really considered it. And he said, look, that's fair. But keep in mind, what you're going to learn in this program is that you're going to find some things that may challenge your any preconceived narrative that you have. Don't let your analytic bias get the best of you. And it turned out he was absolutely right. I learned a lot of things that really, I think, forced me to reconcile and kind of reevaluate my understanding of everything from scientific principles to even humanity and our place in the universe.
You know, like you've gotten a version of this question a lot. I mean, you know, we're all kind of interested in this topic. While I put myself on a skeptical side of things, I'm also a believer in people that are serious people like yourself are clearly measuring, seeing, talking about, and talking to people that have seen something. To what degree can we expect the flow of information to increase as we go forward with your experience with military intelligence? And there's private industries that go along with all of that. How do you see that playing out when it comes to just communicating with the rest of us so that we can be as clear as someone like you or some of the other investigators are?
Yeah, well, first of all, I let me just say for the record, I think healthy skepticism is important. Not being a skeptic. A skeptic is someone by nature who's just like a true believer. No matter what you tell them, they're never going to change their opinion.
Right.
And the way I try to look at things is, you know, when facts change, so does my opinion. But healthy skepticism, I think, is absolutely important. And my background as a former special agent, I was always just the facts ma'am kind of guy. So I get it. And I understand that. As far as the flow of information, I think this new administration, politics aside, whether you're liberal or conservative or anywhere in the middle, this new administration seems to be taking this topic far more seriously. In fact, there's going to be some major announcements here, I think, coming in the this week, perhaps, or maybe even early next week. Several cabinet members have already said for the record their interest in additional transparency for the American people, wherever that leads us. And so I really applaud the efforts of some of the new individuals in the new administration that have at least publicly said they're committed into increasing transparency and disclosure so the American people, you know, aren't left in the dark.
And what are the arguments against doing that? What would be the arguments from, say, someone higher up that doesn't want to talk about these things or doesn't want, what's the good logical argument against providing more information to people?
Great question. And by the way, there are several logical arguments that counter the idea of additional transparency on this topic. And although I don't agree with them, I can respect their perspectives. One of them is causing ontological shock. There were several studies done several decades ago by the U.S. government, commissioned by the U.S. government, and the results of those studies said, look, the American people aren't ready to handle the truth. You're going to cause disruptions on the stock market. People are going to lose faith and confidence in their government and religions. Institutions are going to suffer. Another issue is potentially there's some malfeasance. You have companies, certain aerospace companies, that have had access to material when other aerospace companies didn't. And we live in a fair market, and our government is required to allow fair competition. And if it turns out that, let's say, company A had unfairly been given access to a particular material and research it and analyze it, and company B didn't, and 10 years later, company A becomes a multi-billion-dollar aerospace company, company B goes bankrupt, people lose their jobs, and of course, investors lose their investment, you could actually have some legal implications as well. And then last but not least, you have the issue where people might be in trouble because they told Congress a lie, or they told the executive branch a lie. They said there's nothing to see here when in fact there was.
We're talking to Lou Elizondo. Anyone who's into UFOs, UAPs, ancient aliens, those kinds of shows, you're going to know Lou already. He's going to be at City Winery February 19th, 7:30 p.m. Join me there for The Evidence is Clear. We're not alone. So, Lou, what I always find it like Obama keeps a straight face and says, I tried to find out. They didn't tell me. Same thing with Clinton. Same thing with Donald Trump. To what degree do you believe that there are, whether it's a shadow government, the Illuminati, or just really good military, the way that they keep their records, that someone who's the leader of the free world would be out of the loop?
Well, we know that's a fact. Look, the president wasn't informed of the program that I ran at the Pentagon, ATIP. They weren't informed of OSAP, even though there were a couple members of Congress that sponsored it. Most of Congress was kept out of the loop, and certainly the executive branch was. And that was part of my frustration, that the chain of command had broken down. And I think that is beginning to change now, and people realize in the government that it doesn't do them any good to have access to information and the rest of the government not being made aware, at least those individuals, those points of contact that have a legal right to be in the loop, to cut them out is problematic. And so I think this administration, again, politics aside, just
sure,
this particular administration realizes that it's probably more detrimental to keep a lid on this. Look, people think, so there's two ways to look at secrets. Some people think secrets are like fine wine, and the longer you keep a cork on it, the better it gets. I disagree. I think secrets are perishable. I think they have a shelf life. I think they're like vegetables in your refrigerator. And there comes a point where if you keep them in there too long, they begin to rot and stink, and you got a big mess on your hands.
And look, we all know the final scene of Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they put the Ark back in these millions and millions of boxes. That's the way I always think about it. Like when Donald Trump recently said, we're going to release the files on JFK and MLK and RFK. I always think, well, you can release whatever files you're privy to, but there's another place with other files that you're just not going to get. Is that kind of the way you think it works? It's a bit ham-fisted, but in general?
Well, yes, there's compartmentalization in the United States government. And the reason for that is think of a ship. Think if you were on a Navy destroyer in World War II, and if you got hit by a torpedo, you want to be able to, if you will, compartmentalize or lock down parts of the boat so flooding doesn't wind up taking down the whole ship, right? So think of a bulkhead. Well, the virtual example of a bulkhead, a ship's bulkhead, is compartmenting secrets. So Agency A might have part of it, Agency B might have another part of it, but there are very few people that can see the entire complete picture. And they do that in case there's a compromise or a leak. So I understand the purposes of it. The problem is when that system is abused and information, like we saw with 9/11, where the CIA and the FBI and the Department of Defense all had bits and pieces of information and they weren't sharing it with each other, the result of that was catastrophic. And I think, you know, the lessons learned there is that mindset only works up to a certain point.
Lou, Dave and I both followed these types of topics for a long time, and you can speak to this really well about flow of information. Are things in terms of real information getting out, are they actually speeding up? Are we moving closer to where you think we should be? Or does it just feel that way because everything moves so fast in the internet age compared to what it would have in 1995, 2005, et cetera?
Yeah, I think it's both. And I also think there's another part of this equation that you maybe have or maybe have not considered yet, which is you guys, media. There, you guys are now, well, first of all, media has been democratized, where before you had, you know, maybe three or four major news outlets. Now, anybody with a, you know, a cam and a video camera and a speaker can, you know, look at people like Joe Rogan, right? And Sean Ryan. So that's changed. The landscape has changed in media. Also, you folks are a lot more fearless than in the past. There was a sense, risk averse, if you will, by some folks in the media that if you were to cover a topic like this, they would label you as being crazy, and you'd lose credibility with your audience. Now the audience is actually demanding further transparency, and they want this topic covered because they realize there's a lot of smoke there, right? And so they're trying to figure out, okay, is there a real fire? And so part of the, I think, the recent interest and uptick in this topic is partly because of you, because of the courage you have in being able to report this information, whereas before maybe there was some hesitancy. So it's really a culmination of a lot of things. It's increased transparency in our government. It's increased demand by the public. It's increased frustration by Congress, and it's increased courage by the media.
Lou, one last question I just thought of as you were speaking. I know that way back with Project Blue Book and Dr. Hynek, and that a part of it was very specifically you go and you make these people seem crazy and you discount Roswell, and that's what you need to do. Is there an element of that still in the federal government?
Absolutely. Unfortunately. And that's true. Not just with the UAP topic, it's true with any third rail issue that the government maybe has not been completely forthcoming in the past. There's this hesitancy. Look, I'll give you a perfect example. Recently, during the release of some of the JFK files, there was a file that was released by the CIA where the CIA actually had promoted the idea and approved the idea of literally killing Americans, blowing up a military, U.S. military boat in Cuba, and then blame the Cuban regime for it as a predicate to reinvade Cuba. And that was recently released by the CIA. So there is obviously a lot of compartmentalization that's going on. I still think there is some abuses as well in that process. My hope is that now that Congress is invigorated and the new administration's coming in, they seem to be very proactive, we're going to see a change in some of that and possibly even some new laws.
That's Lou Elizondo. You can see him at the City Winery February 19th at 7:30. Lou, I hope you'll come back. It's been a pleasure.
My honor and privilege. Thank you so much, and to your wonderful audience.
DGS. I require a lot.
Yeah,
I do. I like to think I'm low maintenance. But for example, last night, Nick and I were texting about the USA taking over Gaza. And he said they're going to turn Jerusalem into a theme park. And I said they can go to the place that Jesus was crucified and put in a pro golf and call it Golfitha. And he just said, ha. And I was expecting a ha, 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 ha. And I brooded for an hour. You don't like that one either?
Not so much.
It's Golfitha.
I like it. I think it's pretty
good. Thank you, Andrew.
Golfitha.
Yeah. I'm in the one ha category. It's a ha, but it's not a ha ha ha.
I'm a three har.
Are you?
I'm a three har.
I accept three.
Yeah.
I get, I don't know, because obviously it's like text, right? The tone is always what matters. Because if it's like a really like loud ha, like that's probably as good as.
Do you think does he know what Golgotha is?
Yeah, he's fairly well-rounded.
Okay.
I would think that.
Because that's, one ha is a lot of times what I say
if
when
you
I,
you don't
like,
know exactly what they're...
I don't get what the person's saying, but yeah. I know they want me to laugh, they want a reaction, so I'm like,
that's a good point.
Because I don't want to overcommit and go, ha, ha, ha.
You have to know what Golgotha is, and then you have to be able to picture it. It's a big cliff.
Right.
Like pro golf. There's a lot to the joke.
I know that the all caps LOL exclamation point bothers my friend Andrew, so sometimes I send it to him.
What? Just to bother him?
Like, LOL! Exclamation point!
What about
the LOL? And it's like, it feels like it did the thing your phone is like, do you want me to write this text for you? And you go, yes.
What about the not uncapitalized LOL.
I like that.
I've never had that.
Really? I like that one a lot.
I like that one.
You
like
that one? I'm a big fan of that one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I use that one. I accept that one.
What did you think, LMFAO?
Laughing my fat ass off.
I don't know. That's better.
You know what? It does. It works.
It's empirically
it's
funnier.
So good.
That's a six har for you.
Yeah.
That's a six har.
You just got four LOLOLOLs.
Laughing my fat ass off.
God, I tell you, that's good.
And sometimes Andrew and I will send each other, like, I just laughed out loud because it's like, LOL just means, like, that's funny. Good job. That's funny. Yeah. But, like, if you actually made someone laugh out loud, it's like, I should tell you I'm laughing out loud.
That's the peak.
Yeah.
The peak.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than
and
that.
I'm guilty of, and Chris has called me out on this on the air, where he sent me something and I responded like LMFAO, and then he turned and looked at me, and I'm just like staring, grim faced,
not reacting at all,
stone faced at my phone, and it's like, look, I thought it was funny, all right? I'm not laughing, you know.
Trish is my touchstone because she will flat out go ugh.
Yeah. Oh, if you
get a three ha from Trish. She's really laughing.
Okay.
She's far too honest.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Is it that bad, though? I think that's a good thing. You always know where it stands.
Yeah. Okay.
One time, you've never seen me do my raptor walk, but I did it for her one time.
You do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
And she goes, am I supposed to say that was cool?
I love her.
As I'm bent over like a raptor.
My all-time favorite is when we were at lunch, you, me, and her, Dave, and she asked me a question, and in the middle of me answering it, she goes, if you don't stop talking, I'm going to die.
Oh, I remember that well. Yeah.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.